Well, Impact, December 22nd is our Christmas service. That's a good time to invite somebody to church, especially someone who doesn't always go to church. Invite. God is doing some amazing things here. People that are transforming their lives through the power of Jesus. Amen. And then also New Year's Eve service, whatever you do, you do not want to miss New Year's Eve service here at Impact Church. It's going to be wild up in here. Pastor Zenzo is going to be body surfing right here. I mean, it's going to be wild. The worship team is going to come from the roof like Michael Jackson. I mean, we're going to go crazy in this place. Amen. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't. Woo! It's going to be incredible in this place. But then also, remember, next month is January. Next month is 2020. I thought you guys would be screaming and doing some cartwheels over there. But remember, every January, we do a 21 days of fasting and prayer. Amen. And there's so many kinds of ways that you can join. You can fast from different kinds of foods, or you can fast from social media and TVs and different things. It's just a time to reboot your spiritual system. Amen. To recalibrate and just take a moment, think about the goodness of God, and start with a clean slate in 2020 in a new year. Amen. So I'm telling you now so you can start preparing. Amen. I'm already removing certain meals, certain foods from certain type of things for my meal in advance. As you eat during Christmas, prepare. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving this year just destroyed me. That was a lot of good eating. Amen. Come on, don't judge me. You know you had some eating too. Hallelujah. Well, how many people are ready for the word of God this morning? Amen. We're in a very exciting series titled Extravagant Favor. Extravagant Favor. This is a four-part message series. Today we're talking about unceasing favor. Somebody shout unceasing favor. Hey, would you look to that person sitting next to you and just tell them, you look fantabulous. And if they ask you, tell them fantabulous is fantastic and fabulous at the same time. Now look at the other neighbor and just tell them, you look like you're not scraggling. What is scraggling? Scraggling is scraping and struggling at the same time. Tell them, you look wonderful. Now look over to the other neighbor and just tell them, if you didn't come here today, I'd be the best looking. I'd be the baddest looking person in this building. Well, next week we're going to talk about ever-growing favor, because your favor has to grow. The favor you had 2 years ago cannot help you today. The Bible says Jesus grew in favor with God and with people. If you grow in favor with God and not with people, there are blessings that are going to be missing, because God blesses you through people. Someone say amen. And then fourth week we're going to talk about inexplainable favor, and then week five is Prophetic Sunday. And somebody's wondering, what is Prophetic Sunday? Nothing spooky, nothing crazy. We're just going to make declarations. We're going to speak life towards 2020. Because how many people believe the power of life and death is in your tongue? So we're just going to declare life. Amen. But today we're talking about unceasing favor. 2 years ago, my son joined this travel team, basketball team, AAU here in Medford. And so we decided to get him a phone, an iPhone, because of the complexities of the schedules. It was just convenient for us to get him a phone. Now, when I got him the phone, I gave my boy some rules. Somebody shout rules. How many people know that our world functions on the basis of rules? I said, dude, you can have this phone, but I'm gonna check out what you're checking out on the internet. You can create a code, but I'm gonna have that code too. How many people know that you don't get a second chance at parenting? So you've gotta do whatever it takes to do it right. Somebody say amen. You have to be diligent. And let me speak to parents today. Technology can be great, but it can also be a portal that the enemy uses to disseminate demonic agendas. Someone's, can I get a good amen from this place? So we have to be careful what our kids are looking at on those computers. And even as adults, we have to be careful what we're looking at on those computers. But I gave him some rules. And what's interesting is that we live in a generation that struggles with the fact that God has rules. Because we all have rules. The government of America has rules. You're supposed to pay your taxes. If you don't do that, something will happen. When you go driving, you're supposed to stay in your lane. And if you're going to change lanes, you're supposed to indicate. If you don't do that, you can get a ticket because you've broken a rule. Even in a pub, in a club where people are partying and acting like there are no rules there, if you go there and touch somebody else's wife, they'll punch you in the mouth. Why? There's rules. There's rules everywhere. And people struggle with the fact that God, who loves us unconditionally, also has rules. God does not have rules because he's mean. He has rules because he's a God of integrity and holiness. So I have rules for my child on how he would look, the things that he would look at on his computer and phone, not because I'm a mean father or an evil father. It's because I'm a father of integrity and responsibility. Someone say amen. And one of the things I told him is that, Zenzo, if you abuse this phone, I'm going to take it back. And I meant that. But just 2 weeks ago, I'm excited to announce to you, Impact Church, I was up about 2 o'clock in the night writing songs and praying. And I just decided to go check out his phone at 2 o'clock in the night. That's what a good father does. So I was over there checking out basketball, 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 basketball. And then some messages on the side. But I said to him, I said, Zenzo, son, you have done so well. You've been obedient. You've honored my rules. And I want you to know something. After Christmas, I'm going to get you something special just because you honored the things that I told you to do. Somebody shout, that's favor. And I said to him, I said, so dude, what do you want? What do you want? What's the special thing you want? He was trying to be cool, Dave. He's like, ah, dad, you know, I don't really need anything. God has blessed me. I said, oh, that's good. So I'm gonna just shake your hand and appreciate you. He said, dad, I may want something. He said, I want some new Michael Jordan shoes. And I said, all right, we're gonna do that because you've been obedient. So Impact, last week we talked about extravagant favor. I want you to know that extravagant favor is God's responsibility, but unceasing favor is your responsibility. Let me say that again. Extravagant favor is God's responsibility, but unceasing favor is your responsibility. I can't tell you how many people receive the favor of God, but they lose it because they don't honor God's principles. So please write this down. God has no problem giving you his favor. We have a problem stewarding his favor. Let me say that again. God has no problem giving you favor, but we have a problem stewarding the favor that he gives us. So today, I want us to learn from a man that has so much favor. His name is Joseph. Joseph had the favor of God. They tried to kill him and they could not kill him. How many people know you cannot destroy a person who has the favor of God? They tried to destroy his dream. They could not destroy him. The Bible says even in prison, Joseph had the favor of God. He went to Potiphar's house. He had the favor of God. He became the most powerful person in Egypt because of the favor of God. So I want us to extract four principles, four things that Joseph did in order to experience the favor of God. Are you guys ready? So here we go. Number one, please write this down. Favor is stewarded by a dream. Favor is stewarded by a dream. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Favor is accelerated on the wings of a dream. Favor is accelerated on the wings of a dream. Let me say it this way. Great favor needs a great dream to unleash it. Great favor needs a great dream to unleash it. Let me say it this way, and I love this one, so powerful. Favor without a dream is favor without an opportunity. Favor without a dream is favor without an opportunity. You see, God wants to give you favor, but that favor needs a dream. It needs a big dream so it can be unleashed. So please write this down. Favor is God's responsibility, but dreaming is yours. That's the one thing God cannot do for you. You have to dream a big dream. God wants to do some good things with you. He wants to do some great things with you, but you have to dream. There's something I love about Joseph. Joseph was an aggressive dreamer. Joseph was a great dreamer. Three things about Joseph's dream. Number one, Joseph was a radical dreamer. Do you remember his dream? In his dream, his own parents were bowing down, honoring him. That's not disrespectful. It just shows the weight and the magnitude of the success that his dream could invoke and bring out. He was a radical dreamer. God wants to give you favor, but your favor is going to remain dormant if you don't have a dream. So, Impact, God told me to tell someone in this place, it's time to dream again. Oh, come on, let me shout this over someone in this place. It's time to dream again, and it's time to dream some radical dreams. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've always known that I have the favor of God in my life, but I know that in 2020, I need to dream big so that the favor of God can be released through my dreams. Because favor is stewarded by a dream. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I'm going to read this in the Message version. It says, God can do anything. That's favor. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. It's time to dream some wild dreams. And then it says, he does it by not pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Somebody shout hallelujah. You have no idea what God can do when his favor finds someone with a big dream. You have no idea the great things that God can do when he gives the favor of God, when he gives his favor to someone who's willing to dream big. I want to challenge you to this place, in this place today. It's time to dream again in the name of Jesus. Some people have stopped dreaming. Your dreams died because of failure after failure. But I'm speaking to the dry bones today in the name of Jesus. You're going to dream again in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, it's your season and it's your time to dream again. I speak life over every dead dream in the name of Jesus. Number two, Joseph had the kind of dreams that had no point of reference. What do I mean by that? Dave, Joseph's parents looked at him and said, do you mean we are going to bow down to you in your vision when you become successful? What kind of dream is this? In other words, his parents were telling him, no one in this family has ever dreamed on this level. No one has ever had this kind of dream in this family. And God told me to tell someone in this place, you're going to dream the kind of dreams that your parents, your siblings, people in your town have never dreamt before. They're going to be brand new dreams in the name of Jesus. When I came into Boston and I began to tell them the dreams that God gave me, gathering thousands upon thousands of people to worship, people told me this never happens in Boston. People told me, son, maybe in Africa, maybe in California, maybe in Texas, but this doesn't happen in Boston. Can I tell you, God did it because of his favor. And I declare over you, in the name of Jesus, you're going to dream the kind of stuff no one in your family has ever dreamed before. Come on, if you're going to clap, let's do it well in this place. It's your time. It's your season in Jesus' name. It's a season for your wildest dreams in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. When my wife and I began to look for our home, we had this dream, this massive dream of this massive colonial. But when we started looking, at the Boston housing market, we started talking ourselves out of this dream. And many of us do this. God told me to tell you, stop dreaming at the level of your fears and start dreaming on the level of your favor. Because we dream on the level of our fears. We dream based on what could go wrong. It's time to begin to dream based on what could go right. So we started to talk ourselves out of this dream, and all of a sudden God used a babe in this house, a young girl, her name is Courtney. Parents are sitting right there, Anthony and Maggie. She had a dream, and she came to us and said, I had a dream, and you guys were the big colonial. We said, wow. All of a sudden, it provoked my spirit. Because I started telling my wife, hey, this dream is never going to happen. Not in Boston. It's not going to happen here. Maybe if we lived in North Carolina. Maybe if we lived in Atlanta, we can get a house like that. I would go online and I'd look at homes in North Carolina. I wasn't moving to North Carolina, but I'd just do that. And my wife would say, why are you doing that? You're talking yourself out of this dream. But when Courtney Gary had this dream, it provoked my spirit and it reminded me of the original dream that God had given us. Amen. We used to go out and we're looking at these small little homes and the favor of God did not show up. We lost home after home. It's as if the doors were closed. The moment we went into the house that we live in now, my knees buckled. I thought this would take nothing but a miracle. And once I said that, God said, now my favor can come in. If you can do it by yourself, you don't need the favor of God. But if it requires a miracle, now the favor of God has to come in. Somebody shout hallelujah. See, if your bank account can pay for it, you don't need God. If your mother and your aunties can come together and give you the money, you don't need God. And Joseph dreamed the kind of dreams that required a miracle. And God is telling me to tell you, it's time to dream the kind of dreams that will require a miracle to accomplish, because that's when you release the favor of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lift up your hands if you can. Father, I speak and I declare the spirit of faith over them. It's time to dream the impossible dream. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. It's time for them to dream big dreams. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody say amen and amen. Well, let's go to point number two. Point number two. Favor is protected by persistence. Favor is protected by persistence. Woo! Now, Impact, can I get a few people to give me permission to teach you on the favor of God in this place? Now, this is something I'm teaching you because I've studied in the Word of God, but this is also something I'm teaching you because I have experienced this in my life. Favor requires persistence. Why? Because favor attracts opposition. Favor attracts opposition. The Bible says in Genesis 37 verse 5, paraphrasing, that as soon as Joseph told his brothers his dream, they hated him even more. You're not going through opposition because you don't have the favor of God. You are going through opposition because you have the favor of God. I want to teach you how to access the favor of God. We live in a generation where people love to throw a good pity party. Please don't ask for the favor of God if you're not ready for opposition. Because the favor of God comes with opposition. If you check out anybody in the Word of God that had the favor of God, they had opposition. Joseph had opposition after opposition after opposition after opposition. Favor has to coexist with opposition, but it will prevail. Just because you have the favor of God upon your life does not exempt you from opposition. Matter of fact, the favor of God in your life is a reminder that God is with you, but that thing comes with opposition. I've seen all kinds of opposition in my life, but it's a reminder that God is with me. I want you to turn to your neighbor and just remind them, you are experiencing opposition because you are favored by God. Woo! So it's interesting when people are always complaining about the opposition. It's insanity to expect the rain and complain about the mud. Yee! If God's going to give you the rain, it's going to come with some mud. See, I love the favor of God, but I know that the favor of God will attract some things. Joseph, they almost killed him as a little boy. His own family. When Moses was born, Pharaoh killed all the babies his age to annihilate him because of his favor. When Jesus was born, Herod killed all the babies in town. The devil is such a savage, he will kill innocent people to annihilate the favor of God. Impact, why are you so surprised when you experience opposition? See, I've learned to expect opposition. Matter of fact, opposition reminds me that I'm favored. See, I get worried when the devil stops punching at me. The day you no longer have opposition is the day you know that favor has ceased. I want to change your thinking in this place. You're not going through opposition because you don't have favor. You're actually going through opposition because you have favor. So you will never catch your pastor throwing a pity party. For the leaders who've been here in the last 4 years, you will never hear your pastor complaining. You will never hear your pastor posting things on social media and throwing a pity party so the whole world can attend. Why? Because I know that opposition follows me because I'm favored. It's not because I'm not favored. Opposition is following me because I'm favored. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the greater the level, the higher the devils. I want to encourage you today. God is giving you favor, and that favor is unceasing. But you have to be persistent. You have to learn to fight and build at the same time. Nehemiah had the favor of God upon his life. He went to the king and asked the king, can I rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? And favor started coming, resources, dollars and money. Millionaires were giving him in the Bible, in the word of God. He was getting all the money to build. That's the favor of God. But the Bible says Nehemiah was building with one hand and fighting with another hand. Woo! You have to learn to build and fight at the same time. Because just because you have the favor of God doesn't mean you're exempt from going through opposition. I want to encourage someone in this place in the name of Jesus. Back in the days, I used to love to watch something called WrestleMania. Anybody remembers WrestleMania? All the way in Africa, I used to have a TV in the bush. And I'd be like, WrestleMania is here. We used to watch WrestleMania and Tarzan. That's why I married my Michelle. She's my Jane. Somebody will get that later. Somebody will get that later. But I used to love this guy called Hulk Hogan, man. This guy was so big, and he would rip his shirt. He would do that, and I used to do that with my brothers and sisters. I would wear this tight little shirt and try to rip it. But I used to love the point where somebody would punch Hulk Hogan. And you could see he was in pain, but all of a sudden he'd be like, is that all you got? Do that again. The guy would punch him again. He'd be like, give me your best shot. He'd punch him again, and then he would just start laughing. Ha, 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 and his enemy would be confused, and all of a sudden he would destroy him. You know, Hulk Hogan would be laughing because he knew the strength and the power that he had. You know, I do this in my life now, Dave. When the enemy gives me his best shot, I'm telling you, sometimes I hear the craziest things happen. I get a text and I literally just start laughing. I start laughing because I know those things are happening, not because I don't have the favor of God. Those things are happening because I have the favor of God, and the enemy cannot destroy me. Your favor will become unceasing when you learn to laugh at the opposition. Because it's just a sign that you're favored. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's some people that are going through stuff right now, and you've been throwing pity party after pity party. I'm here to tell you that you're favored. Yeah. Between the promise and the palace, there was a pit, there was a prison, there was Potiphar's wife, there was all kinds of opposition for Joseph. You're not going through opposition because God doesn't love you. You are actually going through opposition because God loves you. And so your name shows up on the hit list for the enemy because of the favor of God upon your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So favor is protected by persistence. You have to learn to fight and build at the same time. Fight and build at the same time. Just this week, I was sick as a dog. Pastors do get sick, by the way, as well. I was in bed all week, Dave. I wasn't feeling well. I was under something, you know, and I stayed in bed. And I said, devil, I'm going to stay in bed, but I'm going to have fun. I was sick as a dog, but I stayed home in bed watching movies. Mafia movies. I said, devil, if you're going to put me in bed, I'm going to have fun in bed. So I had me some popcorn. I had some ice cream. Come on, somebody. I mean, I was having fun, and I was laughing at the devil. You put me in bed, but I'm having a lot of fun in bed. And then I still had to study the Word of God so I can preach to you. Because I have the favor of God, I cannot afford to throw a pity party. Come on, it's time for someone to arise in the name of Jesus. You are favored. Celebrate the favor of God. Come on, can I get a few people to just celebrate in this place? The devil has tried to lie to you that you're going through opposition because God doesn't love you. No, you're going through opposition because God has favored you. Hallelujah. So God, I pray in Jesus' name, never again, no more pity parties in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to number three. Favor is attracted by the above and beyond mindset. Favor is attracted by the above and beyond mindset. Genesis chapter 41. Verse 39, and I'm just going to paraphrase. In this scripture here, Pharaoh makes Joseph to be the most powerful person in Egypt because of his wisdom and discernment. If you watch Joseph, he's a person who went above and beyond every time. You know, Christians are known for being lazy in the world. We are breaking that in the name of Jesus. People don't like church people. When I used to do these big meetings, I would go there and they would say, normally we only ask for 50%, but from Christians we ask for 100% our money up front because Christians don't always pay. We're breaking that in the name of Jesus. Joseph always went above and beyond. There's a kind of favor you receive for going above and beyond. I've had the privilege of hiring people since I was 26 years old because of doing these big events. And I'm telling you, I found out there are three types of employees. There's the employee who comes and they just do exactly what you ask them to do, and you just give them exactly what you promised to give them. There's another group of people that's completely lazy. They collect money and decide that they don't want to work. You wonder why they receive the money. And they show up at the office, they drag their feet, they have terrible attitude, and those people lose the favor of God all the time. And sometimes Christians have been known to be people who go to work an hour late, have extended lunches, and leave an hour early so they can go to hunger night at Impact Church. So you show up on hunger night, you've been stealing from your boss, and you show up on hunger night and pray and say, God, give us extravagant favor. And God says, I cannot bless you because you're cursing yourself by cheating. And so you start to say, Pastor Zenzo is lying. He's preaching about extravagant favor. I'm not experiencing what he's preaching. Well, you're not experiencing what we're preaching because you're cheating on your taxes and you're stopping the favor of God from flowing. Woo. Now, I knew there was not going to be a lot of amens on this point. So I wore a jacket today to encourage myself. But you're stopping favor. If you want favor that is unceasing, you have to learn to go above and beyond. And then there's the type of employee that goes above and beyond. Their attitude is pleasant. They're happy all the time. It's fun to be around them. When they go to Dunkin' Donuts, they make sure they bring a cappuccino for their boss. They're supposed to leave work at 5 p.m. They stay until 5:40. And you have to kick them out of the office because they just love what they do. They are so pleasant. You give them bonuses. You give them raises because they have the above and beyond mentality. I charge this church as your pastor in Jesus' name to begin to walk in the spirit of excellence in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I think government and businesses should come to church looking for employees because we are faithful people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here's my last point. Favor is sealed by mercy. Favor is sealed by mercy. Let's go to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. This is a very important point. If I can get Linton up here. Genesis 45. If you're serious about unceasing favor, I want you to pay attention to this point here. Before I read this, I want to set this up. Look at Joseph. His brothers tried to kill him. They were evil. They are evil people in this world. They try to kill him. They try to destroy him. But then Joseph ends up in Egypt and he becomes the most powerful person in Egypt. And then his brothers showed up. The very brothers who tried to kill him, they showed up because they were starving. Can I tell you, stop wasting time responding to your critics because God knows how to starve them. They'll get what is coming to them. They tried to kill him. They tried to destroy him. Just imagine your own brothers. They left him for dead. There are people in this place, you've been hurt. Some of you have been hurt by parents, hurt by people, business partners, and hurt by people. Pay attention to this scripture here. One of the most powerful scriptures. Those people showed up in Egypt. Joseph is the most powerful person. He has all the food they need. He has all the resources they need. And this is what he says, verse 5. Don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. That's mercy. You do not deserve more favor from God until you can reach a place like this where you're willing to bless the very people who have offended you. God will never trust a bully with authority and favor. Jesus came to disarm and destroy a bully. His name is the devil. Favor in your life will never cease. If God can trust you, that once He favors you, you're going to bless the very people that hurt you. This is what unceasing favor is. If God can trust you, if God can trust that you're not going to use your blessing, your authority, and your favor to punish the very people who've hurt you, I promise you, favor will never cease in your life. I'm speaking this from the Word of God, and I'm speaking this from experience. You know, it's interesting because sometimes people see my wife and I, and we come on this stage and we smile, we wear these nice clothes, and sometimes people think that we don't go through stuff. As pastors, we go through stuff, and sometimes it hurts. You pray for people, bless people, do their marriage counseling sessions, dedicate their babies, and the same people, you hear of them talking about you. But you continue to bless and bless and bless and bless. You don't honor people because they deserve honor. You honor people because God has made you honorable. Yeah. Come on. This is what the church is all about. If you want the faucet of the favor of God to never cease, become a person who seals that favor with mercy. God will trust you. God will give you more. Somebody shout hallelujah. Before I left my nation in Malawi, there's some pastors that conspired against my father. Man, hurt that man, stole stuff. My father ended up in the hospital all wired up. And I was looking at him. And as a firstborn son, I thought to myself, I want a revenge to these guys. I'll never be in church. The nerve of them doing this. And God said to me, son, I want you to go to all those men. And I want you to forgive them. And I went to each one of them. And I forgave them. And I came in this land, and God blessed me. Can I tell you, I have sent money to those men of God. I've helped some of those men, God, pay school fees for their children. And I've never seen the favor of God cease in my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. Some of you need to be clapping in this place because God is working on your heart. This is how you keep the faucet of favor to never stop flowing. Extravagant favor is God's responsibility, but unceasing favor is your responsibility. There's a parable that Jesus tells of a man who borrowed some money from somebody and he couldn't pay it back. And that person showed him mercy. And then that same man, somebody else owed him money and he mistreated that person. And in that parable, they were thrown into the fire. They were destroyed because they could not show mercy. You will lose the favor you have when you don't show mercy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please stand if you can. Impact. We're going to forgive some people today. Somebody shout hallelujah. We're not walking out of this room without forgiving some people. Somebody has hurt you. Somebody took your stuff. Somebody hurt you deeply. You know those people who have hurt you. The favor of God is stewarded by a big dream. And then the favor of God is protected by persistence. You fight with one hand and you build with the other. And then the favor of God is sustained by an above and beyond mentality. But finally, the favor of God is sealed by mercy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I used to do a ministry in this city. We gathered thousands upon thousands of people to come to worship. And before we did that ministry, there were pastors in this city that hurt my wife and I. We were young. I was 25, my wife was 22, with a vision, and man, they took money from us, just destroyed us. Like, wow. You guys should be our spiritual parents and help us do this. My wife and I owed money for 9 months because of something that they did. We were so hurt deeply. And then when that night of worship began, Dave, because you were there, thousands upon thousands of people, half of the pastors who were on that stage were the same pastors that hurt us. We gave them a platform. Because God said to give them a platform. And we've never seen the favor of God cease. Someone shout hallelujah. Today you're going to forgive your father. Somebody's going to forgive their mother. You're going to forgive that person that hurt you. You're going to forgive that person that destroyed your home, your marriage today in the name of Jesus. And the favor of God would never cease in your life in Jesus' name. Every hand lifted up, every hand lifted up. Just begin to whisper something to God. Begin to forgive some people. Begin to forgive some people. In your heart, in your heart, in your heart. This is what unceasing favor is. Forgive some people. Remember Jesus, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's favor. That's favor. That's favor. That's unceasing favor. That's unceasing favor. Unceasing favor. The power to bless the people who have hurt you. The power to show mercy to people who have hurt you. The power to be a voice to the voiceless. The power to advocate for those who cannot advocate for themselves. In Jesus' name. Now every head bowed down, you can drop your hands down. If you're here, you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never confessed your sins, you've never repented, and you want to begin a new relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you haven't been in church in a long time, but you want to have a relationship with your maker. You want to have a relationship with your creator. You've felt something in this service today. You may not have understood everything, but you felt something. I'm going to shout 1, 2, 3. And if that's you, by faith, I just want you to stretch up your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to shout 1, 2, 3. As soon as I shout 3, just throw your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to make a decision to follow you today. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands in the air. Hands in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Wow. 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 Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do this one more time because some of you didn't do it, and I'll wait for you. I'll give you another opportunity. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands. 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 Wow. 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 Now, all of you who lifted up your hands, please pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. Come on, Impact, let's put our hands together and celebrate everybody that gave their life to Jesus. Come on, somebody shout in this place. Impact, we love you. We'll see you next Sunday.